The title of the subject is The Blood Alone. No additives. No additives. The blood alone. Nothing else will save you. Just the blood alone. I could take my seat right now. Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Unto Adam also, to his wife, did the Lord make coats of skin and clothe them. God, right now, I thank you for who you are and for what you have done and for what you are going to do. Bless us now, O God, as we begin to speak your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And I know where we are. I know we have to you. We have messed up. We have knocked all your religion out. But God, God is in the mood of doing things. And we need to understand some things. That just because certain things are out of kilter to me, God is not out of kilter.
Amen.
What is an additive? Something added to something else to make it better. Such as an ingredient to keep food fresh or to improve the flavor, the texture, or the color. You remember when Coke come out several years ago with the new and improved? They thought they had enhanced the Coke. But all they did was mess it up.
Yep, yep.
The blood is the only element in the body that reaches and affects and fuels all other parts of the body. This rich red purple substance flows silently through the circulatory system. Like a high-powered car moving on interstate highway. It carries the cargo of the much-needed oxygen and molecules and nutrients that are necessary to sustain life in every cell of the body. If the blood is restricted long enough from any member of the body, that member will internally asphyxiate it or it will die and it will begin to change colors. Nothing but the blood. No additive or anything need to be added to it. That part of the body, as we said, would die. The physical body echoes and illustrates the power of the blood in the church. The mystical body of Christ, every member of the body of Christ, regardless of your morality or maturity or position, need the life-giving blood of Jesus. Without the blood, we cease to have proof of his sonship. Isn't the blood what the physician tests to determine and verify who the father of a child is? That's why they check it out. Without the blood, we are only bastards. We're not sons. We're camouflaged. We're camouflaged. You've seen the hunters when they go in the woods and they put on all their camouflaged stuff. They are trying to disguise themselves so they can slip up on the deer. Church folks, camouflage ourselves. We come in, y'all have to excuse me, I'm just me, with our Thompson chain reference and our three-piece suits and our Rockport shoes on, and we walk in just like we own the world. We are at heaven gates, just waiting on us to come. Walk in here, know how to do everything there is to do. Know when to say amen. Know when to clap. Know when to be quiet, because all these are churchy things that we have learned how to do. But can I stop by to tell you that the blood does not need any additives to it. You can't help it save you, and you can't stop it from saving you. And we know if you don't believe everybody know how to play church, you watch In the Heat of the Night. They know how to play church. And that's what we do sometimes. Banger, why do you say that? Because our lives, when you get to the place, help me, Holy Ghost, where when if nothing seems to go right, you still got reason to praise God. If for no other reason this area today ought to be just praising God because he allowed Isaac to go around. If for nothing else, you ought to praise God that in all your wrath, y'all, I'm there, y'all, and y'all might as well come on and get with me. When you're at a place and you don't seem to be getting it, pitch yourself, and then you'll wake up. Open your Bibles, if you will, because we're going to be traveling today. Point number one, 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. The blood alone cleanses us from sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. John chapter 1, verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Listen to this. It says, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from sin. A lot of people want to get rid of the blood because they call this a bloody religion. I stop by to tell you that without the blood, you cannot make it. Because Jesus came to die for a wretch like me. It was not enough for God's son to come to the earth and reveal God to man. Man is sinful. He's transgressed God's law. Man has chosen to live like he wants to live upon earth. I've chosen to do his own thing. Burger King, have it your way. Just like you think it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be. Man is guilty of offending God and transgressing God's law. Just as with any law, when the law is broken, there's a penalty that has to be paid. The lawbreaker has to pay, or someone else steps forward and pay the penalty for him. That is just what Jesus did. He not only came to reveal God to us, he came to take our sin and transgressions upon himself. He faced judgment for us. He suffered the punishment for us. And he bore the condemnation for us. Can I stop by to tell you, I understand somebody being lenient to you. I told them last week at Bible study, I ran a red light right in front of the city policeman. Turned right, left, crossed two other lanes on a red light, right in front of the policeman. And he followed me into the parking lot. When I got out my truck going to the store, he said, Mister, do you realize you ran a red light? I said, no. I didn't realize it, but I ran it. He said, you could have caused a wreck. I said, okay. I'm standing there waiting on my ticket. Because what I had done, I deserved a ticket. I can see the light being red right now. But it was a turning lane, and the light going straight was green or blue or whatever you want to call it. And I'm thinking that applies to me too. And I turned. Now y'all laughing and that's funny, but that's just the way you are and I am with sin in our lives. We going straight ahead and sinning all the time and turn. And here's Jesus. Said, I'll pay the price. One of the most pleasant words that I heard that man say, Mister, I'm not going to give you a ticket this time. That was salvation. The last time I got a ticket, it was about $200. And that was a lot of money because that was my money. That wasn't yours. That was mine. $200 is a lot of money when it's mine. And I'm glad that man had mercy. That's the way Jesus did it. That's what the blood. I know y'all ain't feeling me now, but feel me next week. The blood is what got you to the place where you are now. Yeah. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed upon the cross for us. To walk in the light of Christ. Meaning that we're walking, believing that Christ died for us. It means that we believe his blood cleansed us from sin. That he actually paid the penalty for our sin. That we are thereby freed from the guilt of sin. When we walk in the light, God sees our sins covered by the blood of Jesus. He accepts us in Christ. Our sins are forgiven. They are forgiven because the Son of the true and the living God shed his blood for us. And what I love about it is that the blood continues to cleanse us from our sin. The blood does not just clean you one time and leave you alone. It's a continuous process whereby the blood continues to cleanse us from our sin. You have to receive this blood to allow it to cleanse you. If you do not receive it, you try to add something to it, it will not work. If we walk in the light, as Jesus is in the light, we will continue confessing our sin to him. We are living with an open confession before him, meaning that I don't sin. And then think he does not see me sinning. Because I'm in West Palm Beach and I live in Crestview. I need not to think that the God that's in Crestview is not in West Palm Beach. That because everybody that I seem to know are somewhere else, God watches us all the time. Say his eyes are on the sparrow. And if he sees the sparrow, he also will see me. We have to understand that this blood that was shed on Calvary, it will take and wash away all of your sin. Won't just wash some of them, it'll wash them all away. But you have to receive this word of God. You can look at the most beautiful and the best looking piece of fried chicken you've ever seen in your life. But if you don't eat it, it won't do you any good. Anybody else can eat it, and you not eat it, it will not do you any good. You can enjoy watching them eat it, but it won't personally do you any good. But this is the same way it is with the blood of Jesus. You have to receive this blood of Jesus for yourself. Point number two, the blood alone empowers. I love this one, y'all. The believer to overcome Satan. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. It says in verse 11, you got to go back up and read 9 and 10, I think. And overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Yes, yes. And by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their own life. Jesus Christ sacrificed himself. For us, he is the sacrificial lamb of God that have been slain. This picture of Jesus is seen throughout all of scripture. Look at, if you will, Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. The lamb of God was symbolized in the Passover. Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of the month, they shall take unto them every man a lamb according to the house of their father, and the lamb of the house. This is the first Passover that we see in the Bible where the children of Israel were just about to leave. The children of Israel were just about to leave out of Egypt. God told them to kill a lamb and take a hyssop branch and put it up on the doorpost. If you did not receive it and did not do that, the night that the death angel was traveling, he would have come into your house. But if you put the blood over the doorpost, he would have passed you by. That's why they call it the Passover. We're talking about nothing but the blood and the blood alone. Doesn't need any additive or anything else to it. All you just need is the blood of Jesus the Christ. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 and 7, he says that, "And all we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord have laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, he opened not his mouth." Isaiah has said that the Messiah was to bear the sins of the world. He could not bear the sins of the world without shedding his pure, rich, red blood. He did that for you and for me. We're talking about Jesus the Christ, and nothing but the blood of Jesus the Christ. John the Baptist declared that the next day Jesus, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Hear ye him." John was telling them, this is one that's greater than I, and he come to take away your sins. He cleanses us from our sin, but you have to let him cleanse you. He won't force you to let him cleanse you. You have to want him to. And then Peter come along, and he said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19, "For as much as you know that we are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation," that's your behavior, "received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." See, you got to understand that the blood of Jesus will cleanse you. No matter how black and dirty your heart is, if you receive the word of God, I promise you that God will cleanse you up. He'll take you and he'll shape you. He'll mold you just like you need to be. But you have to let him. He will cleanse you. He will take you and he will wash your sins away. I love to talk about him. He says you can cleanse him. You Bible scholars, you remember just before the crucifixion, when he was in the upper room with his disciples, it said he took off his garment and girded himself with a towel and he washed their feet. And when he got to Peter, Peter said, "No, you can't wash my feet." Then Jesus told him, said, "If I don't wash your feet, you won't have no part of me." And then Peter said, "Not only my feet, Lord, but my head and my body also." Can I just tell you, I know, I understand now why God, Jesus, only wanted to wash his feet. That's because every now and then, I don't care how holy and how righteous you are, every now and then you need your feet washed. Some of us old enough to remember when, if you had had a bath during the day, you'd get a foot tub at night and you'd wash your feet. You didn't take a whole bath, but you just wash your feet. That's the way it is with God. Every now and then, you need to come and let the word of God wash your feet. It's not that you're not saved, but you just need to wash your feet. You took a bath, but you went out and you walked around in your sandals. You walk down to your neighbor's house, your foot got dirty. When you get back, you need to wash your feet. Every now and then, you go out in the world and you stay out there and do just what you think you're big enough to do. You need to come back and get your feet washed. You need to sit down and let somebody wash your feet. I got to preach this, y'all, because it's in my mind.
Listen, in the church today, we have taken away the wash basin and the towel. That is a symbol of servanthood. We have put it to a head table. Everybody want to sit at the head table. Nobody want to be a servant. Everybody want to be served. I stopped by to tell you, you got to be a servant. If you won't be like Jesus, you got to be a servant. If you allow the blood to get on the inside of you, you will be a servant. You got to serve because your master is a servant. Jesus is the best slave master that I have ever seen. I've never been so happy in all of my life until I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ and said, Lord, I submit myself to you. I'm coming to you. Will you take me? I surrender all. And listen, you can say that and not do that, but you can do it and not say it, but everybody will begin to see that you are a servant. You change the way you walk. You don't even walk the same way. You don't talk the same way because you have allowed Jesus Christ to cleanse you from your sin. I love him, and I'm glad that he have cleansed me. I keep telling y'all this, and y'all gonna get it one of these days. The day that God saved me, I can't tell you, but the day that I listened to him, I can tell you when it was. I don't remember the exact date, but it was after I had been in a revival with Pastor Otis from Washington, D.C., going to scout a football game down on Highway 20 in a 1974 orange Volkswagen, and I saw a big tire rolling down the middle of the road, and the tire was going to hit the little Volkswagen, and the tire didn't hit the little Volkswagen. I was riding down the road praying and talking to God, telling him how much I enjoyed the revival, and I saw that tire rolling down the road. If you've never been in one of them old Volkswagens, you don't understand what I'm talking about. You are right here. The trunk is right here, and you right here. Anything that hit it gonna squash it, and I'm sitting there riding down that road. It's nobody but me and the road and God and the Volkswagen, and I see the tire coming. It got to hit me because I'm the only thing that's on the road, and I see it, and the last thing I remember seeing was nothing. Then it went around me. I looked up in the window, and I saw something look like a hubcap going down the road. I said, thank you, Lord. Don't know what you're doing, but I'm glad that you have cleansed me. He cleansed me. See, sometime God have to get you in something before you will surrender, because we are stiff-necked, hard-necked, hard-headed people. We just don't believe. Some of us, God done already told you, showed you that you need to turn. Nothing but the blood. Nothing. You don't need anything else. That's point number two. Point number three. Oh, Lord, I love you. I'm glad you won't have anything else but the blood. The blood alone puts away sin. The blood alone puts away sin. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. If the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkle the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purging your conscience from dead works to serve a living God. Y'all stay right where you are. Don't fall off. You fall off, I'll come back and get you. This passage in Hebrew presents Christ as the perfect sacrifice for sin.
The one thing man needs to face up to is this. Man and his world are sinful and imperfect. Man and his world dies and wastes away. Therefore, he need to have his sins cleansed and taken away. In order to stand before a holy and perfect God, he must somehow be cleansed of sins and imperfection to be counted perfect. This is the point here where I had to stop and study myself and study the Word of God in this passage, because if you grasp what I'm going to say in this passage and you surrender to Christ, you will understand. Jesus Christ purifies everything that he touches, even the very things of heaven. Jesus Christ provides a universal redemption. Things in heaven need to be purified because the way into heaven must be covered and enshrouded with the blood in order to cover me. Me. In order to cover man, the blood has to be there. If the blood of the pure blood of Jesus is not there, you will not be covered, because we cannot stand before a holy God without something to cover us. And you can't go in there just because you're a member of Macedonia Missionary Baptist Church at 603 MLK and make it all right. You got to be covered with the blood of Jesus. If Jesus did not take the blood to the innermost sanctuary of heaven, you could not go there. But he carried it so you can go. Y'all call me next week. Man has to be covered with the sacrificial blood of Jesus, even when he enters and stands into heaven. The only acceptance man have before God is the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ. Everywhere man stand and everything man touches, no matter where it is, in heaven or in earth, he has to be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. I wanted to make sure you got that, because I didn't want to have to ad-lib that or tell you what I thought. But if you, even in your dealings with real brothers and sisters every day, that need to be covered in the blood of Jesus. If you deal with them out from under the cover of the blood, you have no covering. Why do you think you get messed up in so much stuff? Because you're going out from under your cover. Yeah. I don't care who you are. You got to have a covering. If you go without a covering, you are taking a chance on getting messed up. That's why you get in so many bad relationships. All relationships are not covered in the blood. They must be covered in the blood. And it doesn't have to be a bad one, but it must be covered. We don't realize that because we are not acceptance of the blood of Jesus the Christ. We do not believe that the blood is all you need. Okay. All right. Y'all catch up with me. It has to cover and to protect man. Man's only acceptance before God, and I know I said that before, but I wrote it down here again, is that before God is the sacrificial blood of Jesus the Christ. You might not like me. You might not love me. That's all right. You can't get to Jesus without the blood of Jesus covering you. If the blood of Jesus is covering you and I don't like you, then how can the blood of Jesus be covering me? I'm not lost. I'm marinating you with that one, because some of you think you can like this one and not like the other one. You can't do it. You ain't got to like them no way. God said for Jesus, said for you to love one another. And y'all just want to like people. I don't want you to like me. I want you to love me.
He didn't say for you to like me. I don't like a skunk, but I put up with him. And so we got to stop. We got to look at ourselves and be received. Let this blood cover us. Okay. You need the blood to cover you because there's nothing else that could cover you. If the blood was not sufficient to cover you, why would God have sent his only son? If the blood wasn't enough to cover you, he probably would have sent Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or some of the rest of them. But the blood is enough to cover you, so he sent the best he had. God gave us his very best, and we want to give him everything else, but I'm going to wait and sing that song or preach that message next week. If God give it to you today, you better do it today. Because if you're covered with the blood will see that everything's okay. Point number four. The blood alone saves us from the wrath of God. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. But God commanded his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. I looked at that word wrath, and it says that it's, well, we'll get to it. We were sinners, yet God proved his love to us. God is always showing his love for us because of the blood of Jesus. We are delivered from the wrath of God. God proves his love by justification through the blood of Jesus. God's wrath is anger, not an agitated outburst of violence. It is not just the anger that quickly blazes up and just as quickly fades away. Not the anger that arises solely from emotions. Rather, it is a decisive anger. It is an anger that has arisen from a thoughtful decision. An anger that arises from the mind much more than from the emotion. We get angry. Spur of the moment. Say things at spur of the moment. And 2 seconds later, we are hating that we said what we did. That's not the kind of anger that this is going to be. Listen, this is anger that built up with the long suffering. This is anger that built up 25 or 30 or 100 or 200 or 300 years that have built up over. It's not just an instant thing. It's something that has built up. The first, when he first got angry with you, it just went on. This might have been one of them times where someone in the Bible, I think, said he winked. He might have just saw it and said, oh, well, you know, they get over. But it kept building up. It kept building up. It kept building up. That's the way volcanoes do. A volcano doesn't erupt all at once. It's over a period of years. God's anger, his wrath, is just like that. It's just like that. It builds up over a period of years. Well, you said, well, Baggett, I'm not but 25 years. It could have been building 25 years. And think how it's going to be when he unleashes it on you. When God unleashes his anger on the world will suffer. If you think we didn't receive the blunt of Isaac. If you think Isaac was bad, you just wait till the wrath of God comes. If you're not covered with the blood, I can shout at them. Because I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood and the blood alone will save me from the wrath of God. If I'm covered in the blood of the Lamb. It will save me from the wrath of God. Because the wrath of God, when God sees the blood of Jesus, that's my son. Who is that? Who are they? These are they that have been numbered and covered in the blood of Jesus the Christ. If you are covered in the blood of Jesus, you have no worries. But you have to make sure that you're covered. I'm glad you asked. By receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. No, it's not becoming a member of the church. You have to submit and give your life to Jesus the Christ. Yes, you do need to associate with a local body. But you have to make a personal commitment to Jesus the Christ. When you make that commitment to Christ, you are saying, I am covered in the blood. And y'all have to excuse me. I'm going to get personal here with you in a minute. God did not just all of a sudden decide to get angry. It was a decision that was made. An anger that arises from the mind much more than emotions. I said that a while ago. When used of God, it is always an anger that is righteous and just and good. God will not get angry and do wrong. When God gets angry, you deserve what you get. Just like when God decides to bless you, he's going to bless you with what he needs to bless you with. When God gets angry and his wrath is poured out, those that are his will not feel his wrath. Well, and bragging or glorifying God. Everybody talking about the economic depression. I don't know it's one. I don't know it's an economic depression. I'm doing the same thing now I was doing 10 years ago. If I'm driving by the store and my wife let me have a dollar and a big cup called 79 cents, I go in and I get me one. That's just it. Whatever I need, God got it. Because I'm covered in the blood of the Lamb. He said he would provide what I need if I do what he said. I told y'all this before. When our daughter graduated from high school, I was retired. My wife said, how's she going to go to college? I said, I don't know. I don't care. But she going. She going. She went. She's an attorney now. We paid for one semester. God will provide. But you got to be walking with him. That song that they sang, order my steps in your word. If you order your steps in his word, God will show you where to step. He will show you. You have to be. But now you can't just start today and expect it to happen today. You have to be walking with him. Not running, walking. Most of us want to run and get it over with. You better walk with him. Walk with him so he can talk to you. If you are covered in the blood, the wrath will not come to you. It will go around you, but you have to be covered in the blood. You have to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. Well, STP, gas treatment, improves quality of gas. Treats up to 21 gallons. This is an additive that you add to your gas tank to help you get better mileage. That's what this is. They say it will work. The times that I've tried it before, but I got another can. We're the same way with God. We want to do things and make them additives to us being saved. Listen to me.
In the church, we do additives to being saved. I'm doing one now. I'm preaching. You're doing one now. You are in the pews. You're doing one now. You are singing. Sister Linda and those musicians are doing, they are playing. All of you, I hope, are tithing. Those are additives that we add to so we think we are saved. None of the things that I mention will save you. They will not save you. The blood alone will save you. All this other stuff that we do is just icing. Icing. I'm so glad that I have the opportunity to speak God's word. If I could not speak God's word, I could still be saved. I could receive the Holy Spirit into my life, and I could live the way God would have me to live, and people would see that I'm a child of God. There are some people that are saved. They do none of the churchy things that we think they're supposed to do. We don't see them, but they are doing them. Somebody watching you as you live every day. Be a good example for Jesus Christ. For those people that will not read their Bible, that will not attend church, that will not come hear you sing, will not come hear you pray, will not come hear you pray. They will not come, but they will see Christ in your life. We need to be covered in the blood. There are people that's covered in the blood that can do none of the things that you're supposed to do in church. But they are covered in the blood. And they probably won't ever come to church. Because they think all of y'all that's in church ain't nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. Because the one or two of you that they see and that they know, that's the way they're living in front of them. I'm through, but let me tell you the story. Just thought about it. There was this little boy that was in middle school, and he was a wimpy kid. All the athletes and the big kids picked on him, and he went to church every Sunday, and they knew he was going to church. His daddy was superintendent, and his mother was the mother of the church, so he was in church all the time. All day on Sunday, they see him dressed up going to church, and Monday morning, they would know that when he walked in, he was going to have 25 cents for his lunch. And they knew that they were going to take it. They took it away from him every day. A couple of houses down, there was a lady that lived a house of ill repute. There was a man next door that was drunk all the time. He saw all that, but yet he went to church every day. So time rolls on, and they all dies. And they go to heaven, all of them. They all died before he did. So when he dies and he comes to heaven, he walks in the door. He walks in the door and he looks around and he sees the lady of ill repute. He looks around, he sees the drunkard. He looks around, he looks way over on the other side, and he sees all those guys that used to take his money. And he was walking in with St. Peter, talking. And when he walked in, they got just like y'all are right now. They got real quiet. Everybody stopped talking. And when he walked in, he was talking to Peter. He said, "Why did everybody stop talking?" He said, "Why is everybody looking at me?" And he said, "What's he doing here? What is she doing here? What's he doing here?" He said, "Why are they here?" He said, "What is everybody else doing?" He said, "They're doing the same thing about you that you're doing about them. You wondering why they are here. They're wondering why you are here." Yeah, y'all chew that. You wondering why somebody there in church, and maybe they're not. We're doing the same thing about you. Each one of us need to make sure that we are covered with the blood. If you are covered with the blood and the blood alone, Christ have already saved you. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can make you whole. Doesn't matter being a Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, or whatever you think you are. The name, whatever denomination you have in front of your name, will not save you. Whether you are Reverend so-and-so, Most Excellent, or whatever you want to call yourself, it won't save you. You have to be washed in the blood. You have to be blood-bought. If you don't receive the blood of Jesus the Christ, you are not saved. You must allow the blood of Jesus to cover you. If you do that, then God will have received you into his kingdom. With that, we'll extend an invitation. You stand, and if you don't know Jesus, this is your time.